meeting to order at 7:04. Will everybody please rise for the invocation of the Pledge of Allegiance? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Please be with those that are in the audience. Please be with our residents. Please be with our city departments as they serve our city. Please be with our military. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. The city of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our entire community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant?
Here.
Councilmember Wilson? She did advise me she wasn't going to be able to attend. Councilmember Aldridge? She did advise me she wasn't going to be able to attend. Councilmember Opadaka?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Layden?
Here.
Mayor Pierce?
Here. Item 5, citizens' participation. We have one individual signed up, Mr. Martin, at 3723 Autumn, regarding drugs and other violations. You have the floor.
Mayor, Council, this is the fifth time I've been here in 4 years about his concerns. We had a big group come about 6 weeks ago, and they felt really humiliated because we never had no response from y'all. The chief and the police department are doing one excellent job with their patrolling stuff over there. But we really feel our safety is an issue with the crime and the drugs and all the other violations going on there. This house, I understand, is a prostitution house. Not only the drugs, but it's a fire hazard. The back is packed full of junk. In the back patio. Fire starts it, it's going to burn more than one house. It's going to burn two or three at least. We feel that we put up with it long enough. As taxpayers, we all pay taxes up and down this street. We take care, we maintain our yards and everything, and these people go and do as they please. And nothing seems to be done. Yeah, they take them to jail, they're out the next day. No big deal. It's time for them to go. That's what we want. And we ask you to help us get rid of them. Like I said, there's nobody over there that pays taxes. Nobody. Why do we, and it costs us money. Every time the police go there, every time the fire department goes there, every time the ambulance goes there, it costs us taxpayers money. And we're just funding their lifestyle every day. And like I said, the citizens that came with us, they're very upset. They said they'll probably never come back to the city council meeting again. That's how humiliated they were. I just want to pass that along to y'all and let you know how concerned we are about our safety. You know, if you want to trade houses for a month, you're welcome. I'll swap with you. I live right across the street from them. So we're tired of it. And we'd like some help getting something done. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Item number 6, consideration of minutes for the regular meeting minutes of February 8th, 2018. I will entertain a motion.
Yeah, make a motion. We accept the minutes February 8th, 2018.
Second. We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Layman, seconded by Councilmember Opadaka, to accept the regular meeting minutes of February 8th, 2018. Do we have any discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand.
Abstain.
That's four. Four, okay, and one
extra. Right. I wasn't here.
All right. Item number 7, presentation for 7A, stormwater program update. We have Mr. Abraham Galindo with Gilbert Engineering.
Good evening, Council, Mayor. My name is Abraham. I'm the city stormwater compliance. My job is to maintain and implement the city stormwater management program. Today I'm here to give you an update. So why does the city have a stormwater management plan? Well, the EPA was established in 1970 to regulate water pollution issues, and they've delegated the monitoring and enforcement responsibilities to the states. The state's environmental protection, the state's environmental agency is TCEQ, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, and they've issued the general permit TXR040,000, which legally obligates the city to obtain authorization to operate, and they're required to develop and implement a stormwater management program. The program that we developed contains five fundamental elements that satisfy the requirements of the stormwater general permit. Number one, public education and involvement. The first element contains seven measurable goals. The primary mission is to educate the community of the impacts associated with illegal discharges. Throughout the year, we've issued newsletters, air PSAs involving issues in the city and steps that the residents can take to reduce pollutants. The next element of our awesome plan is illicit discharge detection and elimination. We've mapped out the city's storm sewer system and divided it into different zones. Throughout the year, we inspect these zones looking for illicit discharges such as leaking sewer lines or improper disposal of paints and chemicals. If we find any illicit discharges, we'll go ahead and investigate them and require the culprit to perform necessary corrective actions to eliminate those illicit discharges. Keep Kirby beautiful. Number four, post-construction stormwater management works with our last element. As land is developed, it's important that we apply principles such as preserving natural landscape and vegetation and minimize the hard surfaces to manage and treat stormwater. Some construction sites implement permanent controls that also need to be inspected and maintained regularly. Finally, good housekeeping for municipal operations. Each year we educate and train employees on implementing stormwater pollution prevention and good housekeeping practices. We also evaluate municipal operations and activities for their potential to discharge pollutants in stormwater. At the end of each permit year, we are required to issue an annual report to TCEQ, including an analysis of how the elements were effective in contributing to achieving our goals. Each permit is responsible for the progress in meeting the areas of the focus efforts, and if we have to incorporate any changes, we'll go ahead and include that in the annual report. The deadline for the annual report is March 12th, next month. And that's all I have for you. If you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to try and answer them.
Gilbert, do you have anything regarding this? Okay.
Do you have any questions?
Nope. All right, thank you very much. Can that deck be added or sent out? Or uploaded or anything?
Yes.
So that we can send it out, so that we can see it. Okay. All right, item 7B, commercial and residential recycling program. Mr. Tom Armstrong with Republic Services. I had actually asked Mr. Armstrong to come to a city council meeting. We had briefly spoken at the Business Alliance meeting, and there's been a lot of talk regarding why we don't recycle glass and because other people do. So it started a conversation. So I wanted Tom to come out here and give us a brief overview of why that is not actually effective and why it really actually doesn't happen, even though other people may say that they do.
Patty, that's the wrong one.
It's recycling life cycle.
I put the wrong one on here. Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. Glass is a sticking point for us in all of our municipalities because glass is recyclable. However, it's one of the most difficult items to recycle. There's a lot of things that that contribute to that. I'm going to go through some of them. So we had made a decision as a company not to collect glass. We do collect it in the municipal solid waste where it is taken to the landfill. I'm going to tell you a little bit about that in a minute as well, that if you are going to put something in a landfill, glass isn't a bad one because it's inert. It doesn't have any gases. It doesn't form any leachate or anything like that that can leach into the environment. But first and foremost, glass, there's a real safety issue with glass and our workers. So the people collecting the glass can go into the truck where it is compacted and then it breaks and it can cut people. It's very difficult on our vehicles. It's hard on belts and the hydraulics as well. And then in our processing facility, it's hard on the equipment as well. So it is a safety hazard, and the number one injury that we sustained at our MRF, which is the material recovery facility, is glass cuts. So the next part of it is glass at its basic element is silica or sand. So, you know, they heat sand up to real high degrees when they create glass. So it's one of the most common materials found on Earth is silica. So there's not much value to it. So tin, aluminum, those are non-renewable resources. There's a finite amount of that out there. I guess you could say there's a finite amount of sand, but there's a ton of it out there. So the next part is just the markets that are out there for glass. We don't have a facility in the San Antonio or even in the Austin facility, in the Austin market, that accepts glass as a recyclable. The closest one to us is right outside of Fort Worth. So we have to transport that glass up to Fort Worth. It's very heavy, which gives a very high transportation cost. So even though the commodity value is very low to start with, by the time you transport it, you're in an upside down situation where you're losing money by doing that.
And that's any vendor. That's just not Republic. That is any vendor that recycles glass would have to take it to Dallas in order, if it made it there, in order to recycle the glass it picked up from people in this area.
That's correct. Now, where it gets a little sticky for us is we have competitors out there that accept glass in their recycling, and I'm here to tell you that there's no recycling facility close by, so unless they are paying those very high transportation costs, I'd be willing to bet that it's going right over there to the landfill. City of San Antonio does it, so quite a few of them out there. And then the last part of it is that glass is highly compactable. It breaks back down to sand under pressure. So when we bury something at the landfill, we run compactors over it, and it breaks it back down to its original state, and it takes up very little landfill airspace. So it's not something that's not compactable and takes up a lot of a lot of airspace. And then the last item I touched on earlier is the fact that glass is inert. It doesn't have any reactivity and it doesn't decompose. It releases no methane, produces no leachate, which does make it suitable to landfill. So if you are going to put something in a landfill, there's worse things to put in it than glass, for sure. If we ever come to a point where we do have a facility in the San Antonio market, we would all we want to do is, if we could break even on glass, we would accept it. But we're at a point where the commodity value is worth so much less than our processing cost, and then on top of the processing cost, you have transportation cost, and it's just not justifiable to do at this point. But maybe some industrious person will start a glass recycling facility, and we'd be happy to give them our business and take glass from the residents of Kirby. One quick thing I wanted to touch on, we have delivered recycling containers to Friendship Park. I believe they decided on four that will be swapped out every week. That's being done at no charge, no cost to the city or the residents. They were just delivered today.
And those are the plastic containers that replacing the cardboard, is that correct?
Correct. We had them dropped off right at the pavilion there, so I'll get with Sam and see exactly where they want them out there, but we'll get that taken care of. The last thing Monique asked me to touch on was commercial recycling. We do have commercial recycling available in the city of Kirby. However, there's only like two businesses that currently utilize it. And it's not in the municipal solid waste contract that we have with the city. So it's outside of the contract. So if we had somebody who wanted commercial recycling, we would have to sign a contract with them directly, and it would be outside of the city. So we can talk further. I can talk with Monique, but it may not be a bad idea. If we do have more and more growing demand for that, we may want to do a quick amendment to the contract and add the commercial recycling so the city can benefit from it as well.
But right now you said only two businesses are doing it.
Don't hold me to that, but it's very few. Okay.
Does anybody else have any questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Patty, can we also get that one? Thank you. Item 7C, the telephone contact system for Kirby residents. Our Assistant Fire Chief Hilburn is here. This came about because of a question about having callback on phones or being notified on cell phones at our last council meeting. The floor is yours.
Good evening, Mayor Pearson, City Council. Chief Alfaro and myself was asked to do some research on other forms of communication to the general public of Kirby other than social media, the web page, as well as mail outs to the citizens of Kirby, i.e. the water bill. The purpose of mass communication is to give information in a large amount to a large group all at once. There are several ways that the mass notification systems can work. Phone call, an automated message being delivered by phone, a text message, email. Some systems do all three simultaneously. One of the items that we looked at is Airbus, and you can look at the blue proposal. I'm just going to hit some of the highlights of it because it is a fairly large document. Airbus has been in business for 30 years. They advertise as being highly diverse to customers with obtaining their program, we can design it how we want it to be. If we want to send a mass text out that City Hall will be closed on Monday due to a holiday, without it being on a calendar, webpage, or a mail out, it can be sent. Pardon me. Let's see. They use a ISO 9001 to 2008 certified organization. Looking at the proposal for Airbus, they allow us to use 10,000 domestic calls or text messages in one calendar year. So you're limited on the amount of information you can send out. Along with that, they do offer additional packages that you have to purchase. It can be utilized 24/7, 365 days a week. They offer 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, technical support. We can have up to 10 users, such as two individuals at City Hall, dispatch, one at Fire Department, one at City Hall, one at Public Works, that can send out water shutoff announcements, any way we want to set our notification up that we want to send out. However, with this, the smallest package that Airbus uses or has would be $5,409 a year for a minimum of a 3-year contract. And that is only for 10,000 uses through that year. They also decrease the price for a 4-year and 5-year. There is a $1,000 setup fee. And in the proposal, there is the price list on towards the back end of their proposal. The way it breaks out, if you want additional 10,000 response to go out, they can charge us the additional fee. Now, along with this service that is free, they have a senior program to where we can, the citizens can set up. They will be called every morning, whatever time that is designated, 11 o'clock. If they are okay, they press 1. If there's no answer or they press 2, saying that they're not okay, the automated system will call the family member that they have chosen to be contacted, and that family member either can call them or go over to their house or call 911. The 911 system will not automatically be called. The second one that we looked at was Blackboard. It is being utilized in Universal City, as it was brought up in last meeting. It does have unlimited domestic calls and text messages. Uses one database, which would have to be every phone number that would need to be contacted would have to be manually entered. They do eliminate the process of having the phone trees, the costly mailing system. They do 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year support with the training. It can be utilized for citizen notification or employee notification. Once again, the cost of it, it is a $4,603.63 for a minimum of a 3-year contract. Along with the annual support fee of $957.13 that would have to be paid annually for that continuous 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year support. The last one that we're going to touch base on, and both of those can be personalized and set up however the city would want to set it up. This last one is by Everbridge. It's our regional emergency alert notification or a network system, and y'all have the little pamphlet there up there. The only thing with this is for emergency use only. We currently do have it in place. Dispatch did use it during the ice storm. However, there is less than 900 activated phones in the city of Kirby. And we can pinpoint just Kirby city limits and anybody who's has activated their phone number through the system, as long as they're set up to receive notifications for the city of Kirby, will receive those notifications. You can set up more than the notification. I have it set up for here at Kirby, and I also have it set up for my house. So as long as you're in Bexar County, you'll receive it, and some of Guadalupe County. It is free to the city. It is also free to register. The web address to access this, if you do not do it by form and mail it in, is www.bexar.org/REAN, which is Regional Emergency Alert Network. I have tried to push this out for the last couple of years, so hopefully we can get more people advertised. But however, it was advertised on Facebook. So once again, the social media comes in play. It's very easy to get, once you get the website up, to log in, go down to the bottom of the page, there's a little link to it. You fill in your name, phone number, contact information, and that's it. I do have a few of the re-notifications forms if anybody wants to fill one out, mail it in. If you wish to fill it out, I'll be glad to enter the information into the system myself, if that helps. We've also advertised if anybody wants to come up to the fire department during normal business hours, we'll be glad to set you up. Any questions?
How many of our seniors do you think are aware of this that are not on Facebook?
That I'm not sure. Like I said, we have less than 900.
That's my point.
In this area alone.
I can't see entering into a program that's $4,000 or $5,000. We only got 900 numbers that are probably 8,000 people. You know, if we're going to do something, I think we need to figure out a way to, if it even is a door-to-door thing, putting these on a hanger or something, because there's a lot of people that are getting older, like myself, that really weren't aware of it because I'm not on Facebook. And, you know, it's a good service. I agree with you. It's a good thing because the fact of the matter is with the railroad right here and some of the stuff that goes through here, if you could read the placards on the tank cars, you'd have, well, you can because you have a book and I can because I did. But half the seniors, if one of the ammonia cars ruptured, you could have all the phones you want in the world, and it's not going to do any good.
No, sir.
By the time it hit, you're not going to be there.
Right. Now, we were asked for other, not just emergency notifications, but other notifications that can alert about the trash pickups, City Hall. Those are the other two options. The REAN is strictly emergency use only, and that is free for us to utilize, but we are limited to emergency use only.
Well, okay, I mean, I can see that, but again, it's the people that aren't on social media that are the ones that probably need it the most. And as far as the average citizen, you know, I do through my daughter go to our web, you know, look at Facebook look at our webpage. But the biggest thing that we've always had in Kirby, the hardest thing, was getting information out to everybody. And then again, like we've given up our landline, and we only use cell phones, which is, you know, a lot of people are doing that. But a lot of people don't really want to rescind, for some odd reason, don't want to surrender their cell phone number for some odd reason. I found that out. So, you know, I mean, we need it. It's a needed item. But it's convincing the average person that their information isn't going everywhere and anywhere. Because, you know, every time that you fill out one of these things, my wife always kids me, well, so-and-so is giving away a pickup truck and a Register. I said, darling, that's why I get so much spam, because I made the mistake of doing that before, you know. And it goes because they sell those numbers, and it's hard to convince people that they don't, you know. But if we could find some way to get this information, I think we'd have a better participation. I just can't figure, and I'm sorry, the bad thing is I have a statement but no answer, because we've tried. I've been here on this council 20 years, and a lot of things failed because of the fact that we just can't get the information to the people. There's got to be a way, and, you know, we've tried. I know Jerry in the past has tried a letter, you know, that we put in the water bill, but now half the people pay their water bill online. They don't open the envelope.
If we could just put those in different areas in the city hall, if they're not in Sid and Norma are here, so maybe they can take a few pamphlets back to the senior center. Maybe if there's a VFW representative, we can leave them at the VFW as well, just to get that, and then leave some for the residents that are here tonight. And then we can at least get this part out.
Yes, ma'am.
And then work on the other, because I know this other information was based on Councilmember Wilson asking, or, you know, about the notifications via cell phone and phone line. But if we can get these out, I think this is very useful.
Mayor, I had a thought too. Why don't we, if we can, get some to the churches?
Right. Any social area gathering.
So the churches, we have 11 that are registered. And
well, they do. If these go off successfully, then I'd be willing to take a look at.
Oh yeah, if we got a better proposal.
Does it still go through?
Yeah.
There's no sense as the city spending money on something we know ain't going to do anything.
But if we could figure out, you know, like I say, if we get some out to the churches, to the pastors, and let them make available and let their congregations know to the senior citizens here or everybody, and then see if we can raise the participation. I think that's the key.
Yes, sir. And I have spoke at St. Joan of Arc for the Knights of Columbus, and I did bring this up as well and handed out the last few that I had.
Could you get some more, you think?
I can definitely try. I know Bexar County is limited on the ones that they have that they can hand out.
Okay. Well, if nothing else, we could make our own information sheet, make a sheet, and produce it for the churches and stuff with the information on it, and then unfortunately somebody's going to have to brown sold it to go pick them up and get them registered. But again, if we could get the participation up, then it would justify.
Well, on that part there, even the elderly, they should still have somebody that's a family member or a friend or something that can still do that, because now you're trying to put these guys in a position again.
Yeah, I know.
And you can't do that, because it's just like the PD. You got somebody out here driving drunk and you call, but they've got two guys on a domestic call.
Yep.
And it's going to be kind of hard to split it. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I said. I mean, I'm sure William, the citizen chief, Hearn has got this on the website, yes?
Yes.
Did he have it on the website? That's what I'm saying. So we just trying to.
At one point, it was on the website, but like I said, this was several years ago when this was initiated through Bexar County.
It hadn't been brought back. I remember that. Yeah, that's right.
So as I'm saying, we just do another re-blitz on it, see what kind of turnout he can get. They're doing their part, you know, the churches, the citizens, the senior center, stuff like that. We need to do our part, too, to help make more of a presentation on it. Because, again, if we can get something going with this, with county, and make and improve it, then I could see jumping to this. But
agreed.
We would be spending money.
Oh, yeah.
If you have to reproduce the information, he could put it on the website. We can put it on the website, this exact thing. There's another website here that he said that you could go to, and you get somebody to help you fill it out.
And it shouldn't be hard to reproduce the copy either. You can do that. Is there any further questions?
Thank you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Item 8A, I will close the regular meeting at 7:38, and I will open a public hearing at 7:38. The public hearing is for a variance to the zoning ordinance for the construction of a freestanding sign to allow 360 square feet maximum face area located at CB 5941, Block 1, Lot 146.7 feet of southwest 53 feet of 1, otherwise known as 5310 FM 78, the City of Kirby, Bexar County, Texas. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to speak on this item? He can talk during our other one. Is there anyone? Okay. I will close the hearing at 7:39 and open our regular meeting. Item 9A, discussion and possible action to consider a variance to the zoning ordinance for the construction of a freestanding sign to allow 360 square feet maximum face area located at CB 5941 Block 1, Lot 146.7 feet of southwest 53 feet of 1, otherwise known as 5310 FM 78, City of Kirby, Bexar County, Texas. Mr. Garcia, would you like to come up here?
Yes, ma'am.
Just a reminder that this is a discussion about what the sign, not what the sign will be used for. This is only a discussion about the face of the sign. So as far as what its use is, we're not discussing that. We're only discussing his variance request. On February 13th, the Planning and Zoning Commission met and voted unanimously to approve this variance and offers their recommendation to us. The applicant, Mr. Garcia, has confirmed that the sign will remain on his property and there will not be any part of the sign going beyond his property line. If council approves the variance, then Mr. Garcia will submit engineered plans to the state for their approval and then approval from TxDOT and then submit to the city to send to the Bureau of Veritas to review and approve. So would you like to explain why you're needing this?
Yes, good evening, Mayor, Council. Ed, the reason of this request for the variance is when we first started this project was last year during summertime. We contacted several companies, but we were not really well informed about the overall project and what it takes and what it needs to be done in order to be efficient and in compliance. So when we first submit our variance, we state that we wanted it to be 200 square feet total. But after contacting more companies, we came to the conclusion that in order to be a good project that is going to be a guarantee and backup by a good company, we came out with the finding that the sign should be 360 square feet, which is a standard billboard signs in the city. So that's the explanation for the variance that I got tonight. If you have any question, I'll be more than glad to.
Sam, do you have any comments as far as P&Z? Okay. Right. Is there any questions from council?
Mayor, I make a motion we grant the variance.
Second.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Pierce, to allow the 360 square feet maximum face area located at 5310 FM 78, City of Kirby, Bexar County, Texas. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Akinaka?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Garcia.
Thank you.
Item 9B, discussion and possible action on a final plat establishing lot 23 of Brame and Weil subdivision, a 2.158-acre tract of land situated in the City of Kirby, Texas, and being a portion of the previously platted lots 1 through 2, 5, and 7 through 9 of the Brame and Weil subdivision of record in volume 222, page 76 of the deed and plat records of Bexar County, Texas, now being known as the following parcels of land, the remaining portion of the north 75 feet of lot 5, as conveyed to Robert Maley of record in volume 8708, page 729, all of a called 0.868-acre tract of land as conveyed to Robert A. Maley and Vincent Aquino of record in volume 3655, page 643, all of a called 1.04-acre tract of land as conveyed to Alfred Kelso, Jr., of record in volume 6976, page 1190, and all of a called 0.230-acre tract of land as conveyed to Marco Della Torre of record in volume 5696, page 1208, all of the official public records of the Bexar County, Texas. I will entertain a motion.
Sure, I'll make that motion, but I'm not going to read all that.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Lehman, to establish the final plat.
Yes, ma'am.
This is for QT, by the way. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, that final plat has...
I'm glad you got through that.
Item 9C, discussion and possible action to consider a request by Veronica Herrera for the use of Friendship Park to recognize Suicide Awareness Month. Come on up. If y'all recall, Veronica was here last year trying to get this going. Go ahead.
Hi. Before I start, happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
So
can you speak in that mic right there? Because it's being recorded, so okay. We just want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to hear.
So for this year for suicide awareness, I did want to see if maybe we could possibly do like a walk or run. I think doing that and charging like a fee for them to do it, we would be able to get more participants to spread more awareness. Unfortunately, I do have another family that is on board with me. They just lost their son's girlfriend. She also committed suicide. She was 32 weeks pregnant, and her and the baby lost their life. I did speak with them before her funeral, and they were on board to attend. I mean, now it's even more of a mission for me to bring more awareness.
I know everything. I already make a motion that we accept our use of park.
Do we happen to know when are you looking for October again? September.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Same date.
So the is that when you wanted to have everything that day?
Yes, it would be, I believe, September 9th is a Sunday, or yes, September 8th, a Saturday, either day.
So when you get that information, would you be able, just as the plans start to develop, if you could please just keep in contact with City Hall, since it's going to take a little bit of coordination efforts between our police, fire, and those groups, our public works as well.
Okay.
And then that way, once we have concrete, then we can also bring you back again so that you're back on the agenda so we can discuss, you know, what you've come up with and those different things.
Okay.
Oh, I thought she had it nailed down. I'm sorry.
No. She does. She just doesn't know about the walk and the run, that kind of thing. That's what she wants to do. But as far as participation, they're still looking for that information.
Over our path should be ready back there, should it not?
It's ready now.
Yeah.
It's ready now.
So... All right, so
park. That's a nice one.
So September then?
Mm-hmm, September.
All right, so Councilmember Grant has made a motion to
allow.
Second.
Right, we have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Pierce, to consider this request for Ms. Herrera for the use of Friendship Park to recognize Suicide Awareness Month. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 9D, discussion and possible action on resolution R-2018-699, authorizing the city manager to submit an application for funding from the program year 2018 allocation of Bexar County's Community Development Block Grant Program. Chief, will you be speaking on this, or Do you?
I don't have.
I have the preliminary information. I just didn't know if.
Nothing.
I can speak on.
I was. Yeah, I was gonna. I just wanted to make sure he didn't have anything preluding you. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mayor. Or good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Just pick a time. We're good.
There we go. Good evening, Mayor and Council members. So this is the next project we'd like to go with for the CDBG funding. We're limited on where we can do this in the city with regards to economic situation and census information, and we've looked at it, and we've if you've driven on Hickory Hill, you'll notice that it's in dire need of some improvements. And this is a little bit bigger project than what we've done in the recent past, in that to do the entire street would be closer to $1 million. So we've decided to break it up, hopefully over the next 2 years, and make this application for the section between Taub Road and Harris Road. And do that section first, and our estimated budget for that would be a total of $582,137. So $582,000 and $137,000. So it is a much larger project, and that is in anticipating and assuming that we would be reconstructing the sidewalks as well as driveways and curb. And the sidewalks there are not ADA compliant. Being a lot of the city was built a long time ago, in the 70s, not much is. So when we have the opportunity to upgrade the sidewalks, we're hoping that we can make this work. I've spoken with the county about the opportunity we have here, and they seem pretty positive. And so this is our recommendation to the council that for we do this project with CDBG funding for, and it would be, I guess, what fiscal year is that going to go into?
2018, 2019, yeah.
Right.
That's right.
And this, what he just said about the $582,138, they're going to try and get. It's a 20% match, so the city, so the city's match would be roughly $116,428. Of course, that's give and take any extra that might happen.
Right.
So the total job is estimated at $582,000. So the grant that they're looking for is $465,710, roughly, from Bexar County. So
good conversation there.
I spoke with Mark Boyd with the county, and we discussed adding in the sidewalks and the driveways, and he seemed to think that was a good idea.
Wouldn't be any point if you didn't, because you got a 22-inch sidewalk as opposed to you need 36. So yeah,
right. And so he was supportive of that. Obviously, nothing's a done deal till you see the ink on the paper. But
then let's do it.
All right. So I will entertain a motion for resolution.
Mayor, I make a motion we accept it.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Grant.
Second.
Seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Lehman to accept resolution R-2018-699, authorizing the city manager to submit an application for funding from the program year 2018 allocation of Bexar County's Community Development Block Grant Program.
Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. And we will hope that we get that.
Yep. We'll take it.
Yes. Item 9E, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2018-830, designating the official city newspaper for publication of matters pertaining to the city of Kirby. This is the first reading. Our current paper is the Northeast Herald. Patty, is there any, have we had any issues with that? Okay. So I will entertain a motion for ordinance.
I'll make a motion we stay with the Herald.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Lehman, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to continue designating the Northeast Herald as our publication for matters pertaining to our city. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Layden?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Abdullaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, item 9F, discussion and possible action on the progress of the construction activity on 2017 water mains replacement project. Mr. Heath is here.
Good evening, Mayor, council members. Since the last meeting on February 8th, 2 weeks has gone by. We've been able to work a total of 3 days in the last 14 due to inclement weather and the weather rain conditions that we've experienced. In those 3 days that we were able to work, I mobilized 23 employees and 4 backhoes to complete as much of the work as we could in that given period of time. I presented you guys with a schedule that weather permitting should be completed March 7th. Simply put, if I can get 6 to 7 days of good weather, I'll have the project final completion and turnkey ready to go. If there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer concerning scope of work or anything that's remaining work left.
You're just having a lot of fun with black soil.
That clay's not any fun, sir. It's holding water. It's holding water like crazy. Very spongy material out here.
Well, if we don't get a deluge of a 40-day rain, you're going to be pretty close to schedule.
Yes, sir.
So you have the complete of restoration of asphalt on Happiness that it's noted as complete. So what does that entail?
But actually, the only thing that's not complete is the intersection there at Crest, and the reason why the intersection at Crest wasn't completed along with the main trunk line of Happiness when we did that is that was our haul route in or out with our asphalt truck. So if I were to make a lateral cut and vertically drive across it with those asphalt trucks with the amount of tonnage that's in there, it would have just peeled the asphalt away even more and more to where the entire trench line wouldn't have been a clean saw cut. So that intersection is going to be the very last thing that we restore as we're on our way out.
All of the sidewalks at
the sidewalks and the curb. If you look at the fifth item, ma'am, or sixth, I'm sorry, the restoration of the concrete. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I can't pour. We can't pour in the rain, but I've got everything formed up, ready to pour as soon as we get a break in the weather. Again, everything is formed up. Steel's been placed on Happiness, so first day we can get things dried up over there. We'll have a concrete truck and have all the concrete restored on Happiness, ma'am. And as far as the sand that's at the meter boxes in the yards, I know there was some discussion on that as well. The reason that we backfill and place more sand other than just underneath the meter box that it calls for is to prevent tripping hazards. We're going to go back and dig the 5 inches of sand out and put the 5 inches of topsoil in with sodding on top of it just as soon as weather allows. But rather than leave it, put the sand underneath and leave a foot gap there to where somebody can fall in and create a tripping hazard, we just go ahead and fill it in with sand till we're ready to dig it back out temporarily.
The other area of concern was Blue Jay in that area where all of the equipment is being stored.
On Blue Jay, the temporary construction yard behind the restaurant? Okay. What were the concerns there as far as...
There was just the way that it was running over the curbs and different things like that. So we wanted to make sure that was put back to the residents because there was quite, on Sir Robert, there was quite a few concerns with the traffic in and out and dropping of the material and on the road and those kinds of things.
Okay, we'll get a broom out there tomorrow and get everything all swept up if there's any off-site tracking whatsoever, and I can get with Mr. Gilbert here. Okay, yeah, if we inspect the curb and there's any kind of damage or rolling over of the curb, you know, we'll find where it's been rolled over. We'll cut it and we'll get it replaced, ma'am. That's no problem.
Does anybody have any further discussion? Any questions? Nope. All right, thank you.
You, ma'am.
All right, item 10A, request by mayor and council members for items to be placed on future city council agendas and announcements on city events, community interest. Councilmember Apodaca.
No, I don't have anything else.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Lehman?
No. Thank all those citizens that came in tonight, and I hope we can get your problem taken care of very shortly. We had one over on Autumn, I think, and we finally took care of that one.
No, that's what they're talking about.
Huh?
That's
what they're talking about.
Oh, still that one?
Yep.
Sorry about that.
Sorry.
But that's all I got.
Councilmember Grant?
I'd like to see the edifice on Gibbs Sprawl on the next agenda and have an update on that, please. That's it, ma'am.
Okay. Councilmember Pierce?
I've been driving through the city early in the mornings, so I'd like to have Judson ISD brought back in on traffic control on both Seguin and Ackerman Road. And that's it.
Anybody else have anything?
It's all yours, dear.
All right. Early voting is through March 2nd for the primary elections. City Hall is a early voting polling site. March 16th at 11 a.m., there will be a ribbon cutting for the Timothy J. Wilson Hike and Bike at Friendship Park. Donations are being accepted at the dispatch office for cases of water, boxes of Capri Sun, individually wrapped chips, and individually wrapped snacks for our Spring Break Junior Police Academy. That will be happening during spring break, March 12th through the 16th. The VFW invites the community to join them for karaoke Saturday, February 24th from 7 to 11 p.m. They are also hosting an old-fashioned fish fry with sides of red potatoes and coleslaw on Friday, March 2nd, March 16th, and March 30th from 11 to 2 p.m. with a suggested donation of $8, and they will deliver if the delivery requirements are met. You can call the VFW for more information on that. The Parks and Rec is accepting donations of plastic eggs and candy to fill those eggs for our annual Easter egg hunt on March 24th. Donations will be taken at City Hall Monday through Friday from 8 to 5. And I also wanted to thank everybody for being here tonight. And we are looking into that issue, trying to see the other avenues. We are able to utilize our police force, and our canine has offered another avenue for us to go into different areas where we weren't able to go before, as far as getting those drug issues taken care of. So we are looking at it, so I understand that it's not fast enough, and so there's all avenues. We're working with all departments in all areas, building standards, you know, all of those different facets. So we are looking into it. So please know, and it's our concern too. So just know that we do care, and there's different places all over the city that have issues. So our police department, all of our departments are working on that. So just bear with us. All right, I will adjourn.
Wait.
Thank you.